flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
He is shaking it up sports. He's our Ravens, Orioles, Terps insider. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what is up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Doing all right. And you were at the game last night. It was a gold rush, 17,000 plus sold out down at the Xfinity Center, even for a 7 o'clock tip. It's funny how you play a ranked team and people find their way down to College Park given traffic and such. But either way, they get the win. They're 22 games in, Cordell. They're great at home except for the Marquette loss, who's ranked in the top 10. Your impressions of them at this stage as they get this week off before they hit the final nine games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they're definitely a tournament team. This is a team that I could definitely see playing in March and giving teams problems on any given day. The problem is it just kind of depends on what type of day it'll be for them. But, you know, at their best, man, they're dangerous. I really believe they're dangerous. You look at their starting five, I mean, they've got at least four of those five guys that can go get them a bucket at any point right now. And it hasn't been great scoring-wise for Queen here lately, another low-scoring game for him last night. But he's not in the way. He's not in the way, and they have jump shooters this year. They have guys that can create their own shots. They have guys like Rice and Gillespie who, when they catch fire, man, they could really – change the course of the game. So I think they could be dangerous in the playoffs. I mean, in the playoffs, but in March Madness. But again, it just kind of depends on what type of turf team you get on that day.
How about the evolution, and you were there, of course, of Julian Reese, now a senior, and if he wants to come back next year, he can because he gets that extra year. Skinny, struggled to score in the paint, had really no game whatsoever outside of 10 feet. Now he's got the floaters, he's got the hook shot, he can hit the baseline jumper, and he's hitting his free throws, Cordell. Where did this come from? I guess hard work does pay off eventually.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it's about, you know, trying to be that veteran on the team right now. I mean, he's the old head on the team this year, and he plays like that. You know, he plays stronger this year. He's way more physical. He's not getting in as much foul trouble as he used to get, especially for the most part of his career. And we know throughout his career here in Maryland that when he's on the floor, the Terps are a different team. But they get into trouble when he gets into foul trouble, and he has been available to them. Him hitting his free throws might be the biggest adjustment in his game, I think, the biggest development point in his game. But he's still a strong rebounder, still really good protecting around the rim. I think he's given them all that he has right now. Like you said, his game on a low block has improved it's just good to see him take that step forward. And look, I don't know what he turns out, if he turns out to be a pro right now. I mean, crystal ball probably tells me probably not. But look, that doesn't mean he can't still have a great collegiate career, even if that means him coming back again next year.
Hey, Cordell, let's talk about the news about Chris Hewitt. Now, because you're in the locker room, you talk to the players. I mean, when I'm out of practice and stuff, the only thing I see Chris Hewitt doing is he leads all the fundamental drills for the DBs. What do the players say? And have you talked to Hewitt? Are you impressed with Hewitt? And what do you think happened?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Chris Hewitt, you look throughout his time here in Baltimore, and it feels like, you know, when the defense is when more responsibility is put on him, or when he gets to take more charge in the defense, it just seems like they take a step back more times than not. I think you look back into earlier in the season, specifically before Dean Pease had got around, and you look at a lot of the communication errors on the back end of the defense. You look at all the explosive plays they gave up in the passing game. I mean, a lot of that is probably placed at the feet of Chris Hewitt. And then all of a sudden Dean Pease comes in, and a lot of what Dean Pease was doing was on the back end of the defense, you know, when he came in. So I don't think that was a coincidence. I think they recognize a kind of a weak point there. And I think with Hewitt, they, you know, I think they worded it, you know, they mutually agreed to part ways because they don't want to necessarily mess him up for any future endeavors. I think the relationship is strong. I think this was purely a football move that, you know, I think it had kind of just run its course.
Now, Cordell, Bob told me that Zrebeck tweeted out that there may be more. And I told him that if there's more, I would be totally shocked. Like Hewitt, I wasn't shocked. But if there was, like...
He said there could be more.
Could be more. You know, so if it was like anybody on the offense, I'd be totally shocked. And, you know, defensive line, I'd be shocked. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be entirely surprised if we saw something with maybe a wide receiver coach.
Greg Lewis is the only one they got now.
Yeah, and Lewis, you go throughout the course of the year, Lewis wasn't really the guy in charge of a lot of the wide receiver drills. I forget the name of the guy that was mostly in charge of those drills.
He went to the Saints.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah.
He was a receiver coach for the Saints this past year.
Right, and I wouldn't be shocked there. But defensively, they need another linebackers coach anyway. I don't know if we're going to see major changes, but it wouldn't shock me to see more changes. When you're a team like the Ravens that kind of continues to fall off the cliff at the wrong time of the year, I do believe they're going to look at almost everything. John's not going anywhere, obviously. Todd's not going anywhere. I don't expect Zach Orr to be dismissed after 1 year, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see more assistant coaches changes for sure.
Keith Williams, is that where we're going?
Keith Williams, yeah. And Cordell, Keith was basically what Chuck Smith was, you know, like he was a receiver guru. And Cordell, we were out there a bunch when Keith was there, and you know he was a Sacramento dude, so I kind of got to know Keith pretty well. But I think Keith wanted to coach, you know, the position himself. But when he first got there, remember Cordell, he was working with the tight ends, the wide receivers, the running backs. He was teaching them all how to run routes.
Yeah. I mean, Keith was a big part of all that. And honestly, Keith wasn't even the person I was thinking about. There was somebody else there this year that was helping out a lot with the wide receivers, next to Greg Lewis, that was pretty much in charge of the individual drills throughout practice. I got to look up the name. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank right now, but that's the reason it wouldn't shock me if Greg Lewis isn't there. Once you start to see things like that, and especially it happens over the course of the whole year, you know, then you start to wonder if changes could be made there. And it's not like the wide receivers were terrible this year. I mean, Lamar had a great year as a passer, in large part due to guys like Bateman taking a step forward.
Yep,
and
no doubt.
Zay Flowers building on his rookie year. Tylan Wallace made plays when he got the opportunity. So I'm just going off of kind of what I've seen throughout the year, but that one wouldn't shock me.
Now, Cordell, say hello. Say hello to the little youngster there,
celebrating
Cordell.
Celebrating that Maryland win, baby. That's right.
Hey, Cordell, we talked about it on Monday. What do you think left tackle and left guard. What do you think the prognosis is there?
Well, left tackle, I think Rosengarten will be that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it, all signs point to that. I would be shocked if Stanley's back, not because they don't want Stanley back, but just because I think the market will kind of force Stanley to go where the money is right now. At guard, that's kind of the one that I'm worried about right now, because look, maybe Mekari comes back, but odds are he doesn't. And when you get these linemen that become free agents, they want to go get their money. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Voorhees gets another shot. I know they're going to give him another look, and they want that to work out.
Yep.
But you don't want to spend a lot of money on, you know, in free agency on the offensive line. You tend to end up overpaying in those situations. So I think they'll look in-house. I expect them to draft more linemen this offseason as well. But again, I'm not closing the door on possibly Mekari coming back if it works out.
Cordell Woodland, Shaking It Up Sports, our Ravens, Orioles, Terps insider. Real quick, Cordell, big fight coming up this weekend. Benavidez, Morrell, who do you got?
I'm going to go with Benavidez, man. He usually comes through for me. I've actually, you know, I'm all into wrestling again these days. I was looking more so looking forward to the Royal Rumble on Saturday than that fight. But I do like to watch Benavidez fight. I'm going to go with him. I think he knocks him out in the ninth.
Oh, there you go. Can I take the Iron Sheik in the Royal Rumble, by the way? Is that not going to happen? Where's Bob Backlund?
Not in this decade.
All right, Cordell, enjoy the rest of your Total Request Thursday.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. It's Cordell Woodland, everybody. I haven't watched wrestling in years, like this century, which is about 25. Either. But, yeah, Royal Rumble. Hold on, I'll give it. Because McMahon, I don't even think he's involved anymore, right?
No.
Oh, hell no.
No.
No, they got him out of there. They had to get him out of there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
His daughter's, isn't his daughter running it?
Son-in-law.
That's Triple H, though, right? Isn't Triple H the son-in-law?
Paul Levesque, yep.
Yeah, Triple H. Can I take him then? I mean, all the dudes I know are, you know, like Randy Savage and Triple H. Why, he's still kicking. Who is the Ultimate Warrior? No?
But he's a bit of a nut, too.
Yeah, well.
They're all nuts.
They're in the squared circle in the sky. When we come back, it's the whip around. Stay tuned for that. And then we're going to talk some baseball. Gabe Lax, MLB. We'll look at some of these, USA Today, by the way. We'll look at some of these win totals. Dodgers, 104.5. With all that talent, they better win 125 games.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Games.
Vinny and Hades with. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Hey, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send request Nolan McGraw. Applause for text line at 410-583-1057. Last night, college hoops, as you heard on The Fan. Maryland beat Wisconsin, 76-68. We'll talk to Walt Williams about that coming up around 12:30 because, you know, he was there. Also in the Big Ten last night, Rutgers beat Northwestern 79-72. Top 25 matchup between number 4 Alabama, number 14 Mississippi State was won by the Crimson Tide, 88-84. Bucknell beat Loyola here locally, 79-67. And Navy beat Lehigh, 79-67. to 54, something we'll also talk about when we get to news from the Nest, top of the hour. Chuck Pagano in, but Chris Hewitt is out, which is, I guess, a significant move for sure. And then Mark DeLeon was mutually agreed to part ways with last week, too.
Well, when you look at the stats, Bob, 31st in pass defense, you know, and who had who struggled mightily? Simpson was bad, and Roquan struggled, you know, so there needed to be change there. And I'm guessing that they'll bring in, you know, I don't know what they would bring in, a college. I'm not sure. What Harbs may bring in a college guy, possibly somebody that's a real good teacher, fundamental guy.
We'll get into the NFL and Super Bowl 59 with Miles Simons coming up. Or Simmons or Simons? Simmons?
Simmons.
Simmons from Pro Football Talk coming up. Oh, two M's. Duh. Coming up at 1:30. We'll preview the game, look back at the championship games and some of the coaching maneuverings here. And an interesting free agent list, and we talked about this yesterday, too. ESPN.com has Ronnie Stanley as the third-rated free agent available. How about that guy getting some leverage?
Ching, ching.
A year after being subbed out in a lot of games.
Yep. And you know what? Good for Ronnie. He took a $7.5 million pay cut, so he's going to earn a lot of that back.
Super Bowl 59, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Kansas City rematch from a couple years back. Chiefs 1.5-point favorites. Remember, as we keep stressing, because it would be historical if they win, or historic, third straight Super Bowl. Nobody's ever done that. Teams have won three straight NFL titles, but not Super Bowls. And think of all the great dynasties and teams, not New England, not San Francisco, not Pittsburgh, not Dallas. I mean, Dallas won 3 of 4 in the 90s, and Pittsburgh won 4 of 6 in the 70s, but no team has ever won three straight. And here we sit with Kansas City. Is it the worst, air quotes, of their Super Bowl teams, even though their record matches any that we've seen during their run here?
Last year's offense wasn't great. You know, I mean, the thing I was thinking about is, you know, the run that the Patriots had. You know, you got Brady. What superstars did they had Randy Moss in the one Super Bowl.
And they didn't even win. The best team they had didn't even win the Super Bowl.
But, like, they had Gronk. But, like, wide receiver-wise, did they have – I'm trying to think. They didn't have any, like they had the Edelmans and all those.
The Welkers and those guys.
But they don't have a superstar. Like you said, their best – you know, when they had – and Randy Moss was spectacular that year. But, I mean, their tight ends have been kind of like Kansas City.
Yep. So, Chiefs trying to make history here, Philadelphia trying to prevent that from happening. In the NBA last night, the Wizards – well – they lost. No one's falling off their chairs. 106-82. They've lost 15 in a row. They play the Lakers tonight down in D.C. Anthony Davis is hurt. So look for, as Jeremy and I were talking about off the air, look for LeBron to go bananas. How about a little Rui Hachimura kind of coming back to get you sort of thing? But Scotty Barnes had 24. Bob Carrington, Baltimore for the Wiz. 3 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. Emmanuel Quickley's out with that hip. This has been a very disappointing injury-plagued season for Emmanuel Quickley. But the Wizards stink. And now we're just watching to see how many losses they can get in a row. Can they get to 20? I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to lose tonight. That'll drop them to 16 in a row. Boston beat Chicago 122-100. The Zinger had 34-11 there. Jalen Smith, Maryland, Baltimore, Mount St. Joe, 9-11-1. That's 9 points, 11 boards, and an assist for the Bulls. Cleveland beat Miami, 126-106. Donovan Mitchell, 34 for the Cavs. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore, Archbishop Curley, 12 points, 3 boards in that one. Philly beat Sacramento, 117-104. Tyrese Maxey had 30. Kevin Herter, Hurdy Feelings, 5 points off the bench. Alex Len got an assist, but it is what it is. Minnesota beat Phoenix 121-113. The Ant-Man at 33. Damian Lee did not play. Coward Hall, coach's decision. And it was Golden State 116-109 over Oklahoma City. Andrew Wiggins had 27 for the Warriors. How about your boy SGA? Nolan dropping 52 in a losing effort there for the Thunder.
MVP. SGA spelled MVP.
Yeah, he's the leader right now. Aaron Wiggins, Maryland, had 2 points off the bench in that one. We just talked about this. Cordell coming up Saturday in Vegas. Benavidez, Morrell, 2 undefeateds for the Unified Light Heavyweight Championship. It's the Whip Around Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, this day in sports history. How about Maryland? It's July 30th. January 30th. I wish it was July. We'd be at Pickles later. Let's see. 1980 in Charlottesville. 12th ranked Maryland beat Virginia 63-61. Ernie Graham, Baltimore, hit a jumper with 5 seconds left. Albert King had 18 to lead away. Buck Williams, Greg Manning, 16 each. Freshman Ralph Sampson, 26 points, 14 boards, 5 blocks for the Cavaliers in this one. How about some NFL draft history? 1973, number one pick, Houston Oilers. John Matuszak, University of Tampa. I didn't even know that was a thing outside of John Matuszak played football there.
I think the draft would be much better if it was this time of the year. You wouldn't have as many F-ups, you know, because there's not as much evaluation. You know, there's too much BS going on from now until then.
Yeah, and Matuszak flamed out there, flamed out in Kansas City, flamed out with the Redskins then.
He was a big juicer, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then he went to the Raiders and got himself a Super Bowl championship and 2 Super Bowl titles, as a matter of fact. Second pick that year, Burt Jones, LSU. And 10th pick, Joe Ehrman, out of Syracuse by the Colts. Both helped the Baltimore Colts win 3 straight division championships. Super Bowl 28 in Atlanta this day, 31 years ago. Dallas beat Buffalo 30-13. Emmitt Smith was your most valuable player as the Bills' 4th straight Super Bowl loss.
Yep, that was Deion's first year with the Cowboys.
And they kind of rolled through.
Oh, they kicked their butts. Yeah, it wasn't even close. I mean, Dallas was awesome. I mean,
no,
Dallas.
93, Deion was in Atlanta. He didn't go to Dallas until he left San Francisco.
I thought you said 95.
94. It's the 93 season.
Okay.
Anyway, Dallas wins. And then after about a month later, Jimmy Johnson resigned. When old Johnny Paycheck take this job and shove it.
Yeah, you know what the problem with that was? Egos. Jerry couldn't handle it. Jerry couldn't handle that Jimmy was bigger than him.
Well, watching the press conference the other day, it looks like, there it is right there.
Yeah.
NFL Network just flashed Jimmy Johnson. At least Jerry's egos calmed down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Based on his press conference the other day. NBC on the call. Dick Enberg, Bob Trumpy, OJ. Will McDonough, Natalie Cole, halftime, national anthem, pardon me, the Judds, Travis Tritt, and Tanya Tucker for the halftime entertainment. Got the old crap kickers boots on there. 90 mil, watch that game.
Wow.
$900,000, Nolan, for a 30-second spot. And on this day, going back a couple Super Bowls earlier, 1983, Pasadena, John Riggins made Redskins history.
Call. Let's see who'll win this battle of strategy.
Riggins. He's going to go all the way unless Blackwood can catch him, and he can't.
That was Dick Enberg on the call, NBC, along with Merlin Olsen, John Riggins, knockout punch. Don McNeil, remember, bounced off, futile attempt to make the tackle. Watch it at Redskins 20, as they were called at the time, 27-17 over the Dolphins. Riggins, of course, was the most valuable player. As we said, Dick Enberg, Roland Olsen were the announcers. Leslie Easterbrook sang the national anthem. You know her from the Police Academy movies, the blonde with the big cans and the gun. Halftime was Bob Janney Productions. Nolan, you'd love this one. The Kaleida Superscope there.
Is that our featured artist tomorrow?
I gotta hope not. $400K for the commercial, 30 seconds, 81 million people watch that one. That was a strike year, too, 1982.
How many watch it now?
You're in 150 million with streaming and all the stuff that's added to the equation. But it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Talk baseball. Gabe Lacks from USA Today. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Then news from the Nets coming up at noon. We'll start breaking down the Ravens defense as it was. Vinny's grades for them. And defections, maybe a couple significant ones. We'll get into that. Talk a little baseball, a couple weeks plus away from pitchers and catchers from USA Today's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Gabe Lacks. Gabe, what is happening, buddy?
Oh, it's coming closer than you think. I think February 9th, the first team is in camp. So we're creeping for sure.
Yeah, Orioles get there on the 12th. Pitchers and catchers and the Birds taking a lot of heat here locally and I guess nationally as well for the moves they haven't made in the offseason. And we keep waiting for the big dollars to be spent. How would you judge Baltimore's offseason? Are they a worse team today than they were when they trudged up the field against the Royals in early October?
Yeah, it's, I don't know if worse, I don't know if they've improved that much. And I think that's the, you know, that's the problem so many fans and media have, you know, a team that, you know, fell short and obviously, you know, has not been a potent offensive team in the postseason with two, you know, two trips through it now without any wins. So that's very frustrating to the fans for sure. It's challenging because, you know, you can't necessarily bend the arc of an offseason to your will. And while the, you know, the Orioles have money to spend, there's, you know, certainly things out of their control. You know, let's just consider that Corbin Burnes wanted to go to Arizona, called them up himself. You know, that's the kind of thing you can't have control over. You could have given him funny money and maybe he wouldn't have gone. And, you know, is your payroll structure such that you would even go to 210-ish million for a guy like that? So you lose Burnes. You know, I think back in October, a lot of observers wouldn't have thought Max Fried would get 218 million for a guy with forearm problems the last 2 years. So there's another big improvement that kind of, you know, went a different direction, got a lot more money than maybe, you know, we might have prognosticated. So it's you know, it's been a challenging offseason that way, but you look at the roster, you look at the payroll. I mean, it's interesting to consider. You know, FanGraphs has them estimated at $157 million payroll, and you consider the franchises they're ahead of in that realm: the Cardinals, the Mariners, the Twins, the Tigers, the Nationals. Way down there, they're about, you know, $35 million less than that. So it's not like they're not spending any money. And I don't think they've swung and missed at something that they came close on and kind of cheaped out on. So it's frustrating, but I think they're, you know, they return a really good team. And I think the biggest factor is going to be maintaining performances from guys who stepped up last year. And that's certainly possible, but it's definitely not the answer Orioles fans wanted coming into this winter.
All right, Gabe, real quick, staying in the American League East, and we're not going to talk any more Orioles or Yankees. I mean, they get their asses kissed enough, if you know what I'm saying. But where are you feeling Red Sox-wise? Look, mid-80s, I guess, win total projected as we sit here at the end of January. What about Boston's improvements here?
That's a great question, and that's the team, if you're an Orioles fan, watch the Red Sox because they're probably your competition, maybe for the division, certainly for a wild card. I think the team that traded for Garrett Crochet without dismantling its everyday lineup is the team that kind of won the offseason. And that's a huge coup for Boston. That would have been an amazing get for the Orioles, but probably, you know, not at the cost that Chicago was asking. They need a little more help in the bullpen. They need a second baseman. Alex Bregman makes a lot of sense, but they probably won't go there. Hey, Boston's been a sleeping giant, hasn't done enough in recent years. They've finally woken up. I don't know if they've woken up enough. So to your point, yeah, I think mid-80s win total is about right. And I think, you know, every Baltimore-Boston game this year is kind of like the hockey equivalent of a four-point game. You know, that's the team that you really want to, you know, want to go well against head-to-head and finish ahead of if you're an Orioles fan this year.
Hey, Gabe, can anybody in the West catch the Dodgers? I mean, the Padres, I guess, they would be the best option?
Yeah, and gosh, they've spent not a dollar this winter. It's unbelievable. They still need a left fielder. You know, it's why they play the game. You can't necessarily say the Dodgers are a fait accompli, but the depth that they've developed is just so amazing. And the fact that they've, you know, you get a guy like Roky Sasaki and you don't have to lean on him for 170 to 190 innings. The guy has only pitched 129 innings in a season. So if he were to go to a San Diego or he were to go to a team where they're like, hey, look, man, you're our number two or three starter, that would have been a pretty tough transition for him. But, you know, you're talking about a 6, 7, 8, 9-man rotation here, and, you know, with the Dodgers, not on paper right away, but by the end of the season, they're going to have, you know, 9 guys, and this is assuming Kershaw comes back, you know, running through that thing. So they don't have to worry about Tyler Glasnow not getting hurt. They don't have to worry about Yamamoto, who should be really good in year two. They don't have to worry about Sasaki and betting on him going from 130 innings in Japan to 160 innings in the majors. That's the biggest thing that makes them a Teflon team is they, you know, that world-class lineup, especially at the top, and then so many weapons in the rotation that they can afford 1, 2, 3 things to go wrong pitching-wise and still end up in pretty good shape.
He is Gabe Lax, USA Today, joining us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Gabe, baseball, and Vinny mentioned the Padres chasing L.A., reading a lot. I mean, you guys write about it, of course, that Luis Castillo could be available. Michael King now, I guess, because money seems to be an issue with him. Why are they kind of all out, it seems, in their pitching scenarios here as opposed to, I mean, you're not going to match them, as you just mentioned, financially, but why are they trying to break up the band here when they were so close last year?
I think it's a matter of lineup balance in the name of the Mariners. You know, so pitching heavy, so weak, hitting-wise, that a guy like Luis Castillo, a little older, a little more expensive, becomes expendable. And then with the Padres, so many questions with ownership, with you know, how much money do they have going forward? What is the bill going to look like for Tatis and Machado and Xander Bogaerts with their $300 million deals? You know, that's you know, so what is our financial situation and how can we kind of get ahead of that? Personally, I think the Padres should just ride or die this year with those guys. They were so close last year, you know. why not have, you know, another year of 42,000 fans coming through and a shot at the World Series? So, it's just circumstantially, both teams are in odd positions. I think a guy like Castillo could be had for a bit less than a guy like Dylan Cease, you know, maybe even Michael King, you know. But the question is, would a team like the Orioles have the major league ready hitters be willing to give them up that the Mariners would want? So it'll be very tricky. Keep in mind, Dylan Cease was not dealt until mid-March last year. So this program is never over. The offseason is a 13-month process. Crazily enough. So definitely stay tuned to all that. And the, you know, what rosters look like right now could be a lot different come March 27th.
Gabe Lax, USA Today. Thanks for cleaning that Castillo up for me, by the way, there. He's Gabe Lax. Gabe, get ready for pitchers and catchers out in Arizona, I guess. The Cactus League. And then you have the spring training with I can't remember. What's Florida called?
Grapefruit League.
All them beers I've been drinking for 60 years now, Gabe Lax. Gabe, have a great next couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you certainly when the season begins here.
Be in touch, fellas.
There you go. Gabe Lax, USA Today. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. We're going to break down the Ravens grade-wise with Vinny. The defense, statistically pass-wise, not all that great, but number one against the run. They had a plus turnover differential. So there are some positive things, and most of the studs are expected to be back. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057 and count that late week money, hopefully buy or sell 1215. But let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Quick draw, how you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show the whole Final Four thing. I say that slightly in jest, but we are excited about Maryland over here. How about something maybe a little more realistic than that, or a little more attainable than the Final Four, something that could come up much sooner than that? Conference tournament. I've been harping on this for years, and this goes back to previous coaching regimes. The importance of the conference tournament. Sure, if you're a team on the bubble, obviously you need a couple wins to get yourself in, but that's still something that's worthy of hanging a banner over. If you can win the conference tournament,
oh, hell yeah,
especially in a conference as tough as the Big Ten, that means something. That has to mean something. Maryland has a handful in their history, but it's not a super common occurrence for them. It seems like the fan base at times has been so obsessed with the March Madness, the NCAA tournament results, and maybe rightfully so. We want more Sweet 16s and Elite 8s and so on, but conference tournament, that's attainable, especially if you get the double bye out the gate. That's something that could be celebrated and would be something that would boost recruiting and all that other stuff.
They've been in the Big Ten for now, what, 11 years? Mm-hmm. Whoa. They haven't made it out of the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament.
And that was very early on.
Is it two different banners? One for the league?
Yeah, they'd be separate.
More banners, the better. This is hey, I finished third in Tiddlywinks. Here's the banner. But they haven't won a conference tournament since 2004 when they won the ACC, and it's a surprise run through Wake Forest, NC State, and then Duke. And if you're young, you remember the picture of the crying kid with the Duke jersey, which is great, and I would play that all the time. But as long as Maryland was in the ACC, and they were a charter member of that conference, they only won it three times. They've lost in the finals. Trust me, I remember. Heartbreaking style many, many times. But only won it three times, where it's a common occurrence for Duke and North Carolina. To win the Big Ten tournament certainly would be a feather in their cap. And if they're trending this way, they're like a top three seed. If they become the little team that could. Because if you get top four where they are right now, you get that double bye. They wouldn't play their first game till what? Friday. Mm-hmm. And it would be at night, so we think. So we'll see. But yeah, winning conference, all the accolades you can get is certainly worthy of appreciation and praise, given the fact Maryland has not won a conference tournament in 21 years, no matter what it is.
Or even before the tournament, just winning the regular season. You know, they tied with a couple teams a few years back before COVID stopped their season.
Right.
And that's fine. There's a banner right there, but it is shared. So it'd be nice to get that on your own. And look, they're three games back of Michigan State in the standings, but they played a ton more games. So we heard from Coach Willard earlier in the week, you know, they played all these games. Now they get to enjoy a little bit of a break, and you get to sit back and watch what the rest of the conference is going to do. Not out of the possibility for them to maybe make a push for a regular season title.
Yes, hang tight. Enjoy where they are right now, because there's a little bit of a break. 17-5, 7-4. Win at Ohio State, and then we can start really thinking about that in realistic terms. But it's no longer a bubble team, which they were maybe 2 weeks ago when they went winless out west. Now it's a team that a lot of people are saying, like said about the Ravens, hey, they're dangerous. You're dangerous. Mm-hmm. Until you prove it on the floor or on the field.
Right. Stay dangerous a month from now.
Stay dangerous.
That's when you want to be dangerous.
Let's go dancing, because last year that was brutal. You want to know fun house?
Mm-hmm.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start in the NFL here with this texter who says, huge seasons for Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry. I guess you can throw Josh Jacobs in there, too. Has the narrative around running backs completely changed, or are these guys just anomalies compared to their peers?
I think people are realizing... Well, I mean, you hear, like, all these people talking now, and you hear coaches talking, you know, team with the run game, is the team going to win? So, I mean, you got to put emphasis on the running backs, because the run game is so important. I think people are just going to start investing a little bit more money, you know, in the wide receivers, in the running back, just because look at Detroit, what it did for Detroit. I mean, they have two, you know, look at, like the Ravens, and like you said, and look at Cook for Buffalo. I mean, to me nowadays, to have a great running back, that's huge.
How would, for instance, Dallas's season be different? And Baltimore's, yep. If Derrick Henry goes to the Cowboys instead of the Ravens.
Yeah, where Jerry, we can't afford him.
Yeah. It's like the Steinbrenner's crying broke.
Yeah. But, I mean, he wouldn't have had the year that he had because, you don't have Lamar and true. All that. But he'd have been good.
Yeah, the Ravens would have been up against it running the football for
no
sure.
Doubt.
The upcoming draft could be huge for running backs as well. It seems like it's deep. Genty at the top.
Genty's going to reap the benefits of that, because now it's okay to take the dude in the first round.
And he's a guy, workload was big. Rather extreme. Yeah, for sure.
And how about one here on the Orioles? Texter says, I'm not an O's hater by any means, but you'd have to say the team is worse on paper now than they were at the end of the season. Burns out, Morton, Sagano in, Santander out, O'Neill comes in. Bullpen, probably the only area where they are better. Kittredge, very good, and of course, the return of Felix.
Well, they were 91-71, and we talked about it throughout the second half of last year. When they late June, they blew out the Yankees 17-5. They had the best record in baseball, number one offense across most categories. The second half, tail of two teams. I think they're better offensively. With all due respect to Anthony Santander, who I was a huge fan of, I think Mullins is going to be good for an entire season, not in a prolonged slump that went back to May of 2023. I think they're going to be really good defensively. Rutschman's going to be better. The bullpen's going to be better. Can you win your division with five number three, four starters, I guess? That's the question when you look at Boston's rotation and New York's rotation. Well, are we in a we-have-to-outscore team mode there? But Morton, 41, problemo. Sagano, never pitched in majors before, even though Adam Jones faced him in Japan, said he's going to be really good. Grayson Rodriguez got number one starter stuff, but he's had two significant injuries in the last 3 years. So and I like Kramer. Kramer's a solid back end of the rotation dude. Who am I missing here?
Eflin, yeah.
Who might be your best when it's all said and done? Burns is better than all of them, but an accumulation of those five or six, I think they're still competitive.
Right, and the stars align. We've seen it here in Baltimore. You know, 2014, they won the division. You look at that rotation that year, there's nobody there that jumps
Miggy
out
at Gonzalez,
you.
Chris Tillman.
Him. Loved Gonzalez. But nobody in that group
they
was
had a great bullpen.
A true ace. But they just had five guys that were, you know, number threes. You know, and that was enough that year. Probably not enough every year, but maybe the stars will align.
And let's be honest, even aces pitch 180 innings. It's not like they're going deep into ball games anyway. It's Vinny at 81057 the Fan. News from the Nest. Talk about that Ravens defense, how good or bad they were in certain areas. But if you look at them on paper coming back, they have a lot of strength. Buy or sell, where's the dough? Hopefully counting that around 12-15. The Wizard Walt Williams talks about the Terps. They've turned it around. They've won four in a row. What's it, 7 of 8? They're right now fourth in the Big Ten. 2 weeks ago, I'd have said, I don't see that happening.